Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where I am currently building an ark. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 14th, 2011, episode 293, sponsored today by Amazon.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like.
Jamie, do you watch The Bachelor?
No, Glenn. I find that my reality TV show limit is fulfilled with Dancing with the Stars.
You know, we really don't know anybody that watches The Bachelor. I don't know if horse people actually watch The Bachelor. Maybe one of our listeners will chime in on Facebook and go, "I watch The Bachelor every week." Well, apparently in Bachelor number 16, can you believe they had 16 of those already? They have a good-looking, hunky winemaker named Ben, and Ben needs a new last name. And there is this blog called Starcasm.net, and it's kind of a snarky blog about the stars and TV shows. Well, he writes this, I just thought this was funny as heck. He writes about Lindsay Cox, who is one of the 25 eligible bachelorettes competing this year on episode number season 16. And apparently they usually drive in at the beginning of the episode in a limousine and they get out and it's all fancy and music's going and he gets to meet him and everything. Well, apparently she rode in on a horse because she is quite the equestrian, has been riding forever, was part of the Fresno State women's equestrian team. So she rides in on this paint and he takes her off the horse and all this romantic stuff. So that's all well and good. And I think that's all pretty neat. And we get a horse into the show, which is always good. But I love this blogger's comment. He writes, "Pro, I am willing to admit it was pretty sexy seeing Lindsay," by the way, she is hot, "ride in on a horse. I swear I would have been tempted to hop right on back up there with her, ride off into the sunset and call it a season." I think I would have, too. She's pretty hot. And then Con, which I think is the funny part, and I wonder how he knows this about horse women. "Sometimes horse-loving gals don't have much patience for guys. We kind of suck by comparison." I think that says it all right there.
As long as you know it, my friend, we are good.
That needs to be the tagline of the Horse Radio Network. "Sometimes horse-loving gals don't have much patience for guys. We kind of suck as comparison." I need to have that actually as the tagline for our Horse Husbands Club, don't I? That just says it all right there.
Yeah, but if you start quoting The Bachelor for your club, I'm out. That's the only problem, is it comes from something related to The Bachelor. And what did you say, season 682? My God.
Pretty much.
Who is watching this stuff?
I know. Anyway, that was my funny chuckle of the morning as I came across that story. And no, I do not read Starcasm.net on a regular basis. It just popped up in this Google alert for horse. But I tell you what, I do like that website, actually, Starcasm.net. I might start looking at it more often. Good spot for the show.
Well, speaking of today's show, I know we've got a busy one. So, Jennifer, what are we working on today?
On today's Amazon.com Wednesday edition, it is a fantastic foray featuring ESMA Award winner Lisa Kemp with a special announcement about a special project. And we'll leave the rest to her. Then we have for you a spill the beans story fit for the holiday season. Jen Reutz is here from that superpower thoroughbred breeding farm, Three Chimneys. If you watch the Breeders' Cup or any of the Triple Crown coverage, you've seen their really clever commercials. She's here to tell us about how they help ex-racers find new homes and second careers over there at Three Chimneys Farm. And to wrap up the morning and put a big bow on top, the Horse.com's weekly health report is here to increase the EW factor. So stay tuned.
And, you know, we do have an announcement to make about the Horse.com coming up later, is that Christy is no longer with the horse. She has moved on to a really, really cool job that we're hoping to have her on later in the week to tell us about. And we have Michelle Anderson is the new Christy over there at the Horse.com. So we have a new voice coming up here very shortly on the Horse.com. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that, and we're going to miss Christy. We've grown to like Christy. She grew to like really picking on me every week, and I'm sure that Michelle will just fill in just fine in the picking on Glenn about the gory gross stuff on thehorse.com every week. Well, my daily whinny goes out to all the hosts of all the different shows on the Horse Radio Network, total of 8 of us now. We recorded our annual All Hosts episode last night and had a lot of fun. It's interesting when you get 8 different big personalities like we have on the Horse Radio Network on one show. You'll get to hear that in one of the shows between Christmas and New Year's, and we actually put it out across all of the shows. But it was a lot of fun. Did you have fun last night, Jamie, doing that?
I did, but I got to tell you, first of all, I'm sick of talking to you because that's too much in one day. Second of all, I'm sick of talking about gophers. I need a break from the gophers. My God. It's like Alan just harasses me about it. So
I still think Alan's responsible for the Gopher Coalition, don't you?
I know who it is. I know who it is, and I'm coming for him.
Oh, you do? You didn't give up the goods. You didn't tell us you knew who it was.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to say it on the air here, but I'm pretty sure I have a good idea, Mr. Forster, on who is in charge of the Gopher Coalition. We'll see. So it was fun last night. But yeah, you know, Alan, too much Alan.
Well, you know what? I thought it was good. You two sort of left each other alone. There was no fighting or bickering. It was pretty good. I was a little concerned about that anytime I get you two together. But it was fine. The only damage that was done last night is our cat bit Chris before the show started. Just came up and took a chunk out of her leg.
Oh, my God. Wow. Awesome. I mean, not awesome. That's terrible. Well, my daily whinny was going to go to, and we've been pronouncing it wrong. God forbid we try to pronounce it fancy. Rapid Redux. We've been saying Rapid Redux, but it's Rapid Redux. And we're gonna play the audio from his race yesterday because we need to. But I just could not give my brother my daily whinny. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yep. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. My daily whinny has to go to my brother because I found out something that he did, which it just seems weird being my brother. Okay, so long story short, my brother's sitting in his house in
Atlanta.
This
is your twin brother.
My twin brother.
Okay.
He's 6 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. We can look more opposite. But he's sitting in the house that I used to live in, and he now has moved up to my bedroom where I lived in Atlanta before I moved to Phoenix. So he's in my room, and he hears somebody ring the doorbell. And he walks to he's upstairs, so he walks over and he peeks down and sees three, and I have no other way of saying it, than three Mexican kids that are standing on our front walk ringing the doorbell. He thinks, oh, I don't need to go talk to them. I don't know them. So he doesn't answer the door. Common in our neighborhood to not answer the door. So he goes back into his room, and he says he's sitting there in his boxer shorts. He was starting to get dressed. All of a sudden, he hears somebody coming in the house. And it was not 10 seconds before the three guys came around the house, found the open door on the patio, and busted into the house. He's sitting upstairs in nothing but his boxer shorts with
anything.
And these three guys come into the house. One of them goes downstairs, one of them starts working in the living room, and one of them goes upstairs to where he is. He said he heard him coming up the stairs. And he said he crouched down almost in, like, football position because he knew the guy was going to come in the door. This kid opens the door, and my brother attacks him, grabs him, starts running with him. And he said he was surprised at how light the kid was. He was like, he must have been 5'2". So he said, he's like, I've had worse fights with you. So he runs him and throws him. We have, like, it's like a quad-level house. So, you know, you've got, like, a room and then another room kind of catty corner up about 4 or 5 stairs. He said he ran the guy down the stairs. He threw him down the stairs. His head went into the to the wood, the drywall. He said then somebody jumped on him from behind and started scratching his neck. And he ended up being thrown down the stairs himself, and with this guy on his back. The third guy grabs something and hits my brother in the back of the head with it. Three guys attacking my brother. He gets up and starts flailing, and these guys get their butt kicked by my twin brother, who at this point has just realized, once he got hit in the head, that yes, he is officially getting broken in two. He didn't understand what was going on. These three guys, within maybe they've been in the house a minute and a half, all of them split. They all run away out the house. Well, apparently the whole neighborhood is outside at this point. They've seen everything. Cops have already been called. So these guys run off. My brother gets my daily Winnie because he fought off three burglars in his house. And now, a word from the sister. Are you a freaking idiot? Those guys could have had knives or guns or anything else. What do you think you're doing tackling some guy that's breaking into your house? First of all, you should have a weapon. Don't just go out there and take on three guys. There's no telling what they could have done. Oh, and yes, it is my house because my whole name is still on the mortgage, and it damaged the walls. These guys everywhere. That was so stupid. I'm so mad at him, but I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to defend him a little bit. He came into the room where your brother was. What was he going to do?
I know. Oh, I don't know what I would have done. I God love him for being so brave. I would have probably hid under the bed. Be like,
well, isn't this everybody's nightmare, though, that the home invasion, you know, that something like this happens? And then you always think about what I would do. And, boy, when you're in that situation, you just react. I think you just react.
He really did. And fortunately, these guys weren't armed, and they did leave. Now, when the police came, my brother then realized the extent of what he had just done and said he lost his mind. He was shaking and everything. But when they did come, the police said that this is the sixth house in 3 days that these three guys have gotten. And they come between 10 and 1 when everybody's at work. They bring the doorbell. If you don't answer the door, they go in the house.
I wonder what they do if you answer the door, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Forced at home invasion, maybe at that point. So, you know, he's really lucky, and I'm just really proud of him. And he said they got nothing. They got nothing.
And I don't think they're coming back anytime soon.
Probably not. But I did say he's kind of out of work right now. I'm like, why don't you just sit at home with your gun pointed at the front door and just wait for him again? Not just kidding. Just kidding. That would be terrible. Yeah.
What a bad thing. He is lucky. I mean, three of them, you know, he is very lucky. He's lucky when he got whacked in the back of the head, he didn't get knocked out.
I know. But like he said, he's like, they were all so tiny. He's like, I've had worse fights with you. It wasn't that big a deal. Probably.
And your brother's kind of a scrappy guy, isn't he?
Oh, he's a big hot mess. Glenn. Yeah, so they really did pick the wrong guy. My other brother would have been like, here, just take any money I have. This is what I have. Just go ahead and move on. My brother, the other brother, was like, I'll kill you.
Well, you know, if nothing else, one of them has a headache this morning, and to remember your brother by.
Yeah. Well, he went headfirst in the drywall. My brother's like, all this and I have to fix the dang drywall. Oh, okay. Well, enough about him. I just am really proud, and I had to tell you that story because it is just absolute craziness. Now, should we move on? I know. Terribly scary. So make sure you have a plan. But I want to get to Rapid Redux before we get to our first guest.
Let's just play this.
Okay.
Take a second to get started here.
He was going to try
Citation Records
one today.
Rapid Redux, sharp as can be out of the gate, and go right to the front of the inside as that first turn run comes up quickly, and Rapid Redux tries to roll on and clear, and it does so. Rapid Redux in front a length and a half. From first night, Zoso got awesome rhythm. In between horses is Shamrose, is only about three lengths off the lead in between horses. And last is a late running No Breaks. So Rapid Redux up front with a length and a quarter lead. Rapid Redux perhaps just about a length now as they move on up the backstretch. A 24-1 opening quarter for Rapid Redux and J.D. Acosta. Awesome Rhythm shuffled back up it. First night is on the chase in second. Awesome Rhythm is third. In between horses, Shamrose is fourth. As they move on up the backstretch, Zoso Good is in the second flight, but hung out wide in that second group of horses. And No Breaks is last, and still has about 10 to make up. 48 seconds for the half mile. So very reasonable out there for Rapid Redux with a half mile left to go and a two-length lead. In second is First Night. Then Zoso Good in third. Awesome Rhythm. Hard ridden down to the inside in the fourth spot. Shamrose is fifth. They're still chasing Rapid Redux. Last is No Break. Still about eight lengths in the front. Rapid Redux comes toward the top of the stretching, passing that 5/16 mark, six furlongs in 1/13 flat and a one-length lead. Awesome Rhythm doing his best to chase and try to gain on Rapid Redux. First Night is third. Shamrose is fourth of the inside. So they're straightened for home. Rapid Redux is in front from Awesome Rhythm, who's trying to gain ground to the outside. But Rapid Redux is giving the fans what they want. He's opened up a three-length lead. Rapid Redux and J.D. Acosta from Awesome Rhythm in second. And into third is No Breaks. Rapid Redux reaching for the line. And Rapid Redux does it. A half-length winner from Awesome Rhythm. And No Breaks and First Night. 19-19 this year. Rapid Redux ties Citation and Roseman's single-season win record, giving the fans exactly what they want. 21 in a row, a spectacular run through the record books. The star of the show is Rapid Redux.
Woo-woo! That is fantastic. Now, I would like to tell you, Rapid Redux, bred in Kentucky by Fortress. Oh, bred, that's the breeder. Improved to 27-1-1 from 41 lifetime starts. 41 lifetime starts, 20 wins in a row. Guess what his lifetime earnings are, Glenn?
Well, it'd have to be in the millions.
Keep in mind that Zenyatta won $6, $7 million from being 19-0. Rapid Redux has now, with 27 victories, upped his earnings to $351,000.
Not running in stake races, huh?
No, definitely not. Now, they did say they probably will not run him in 2012. He may be done. He says he would like to maybe squeeze out one more race by the end of the year, but it's up to the horse. And it says he's amazing. This is his trainer. It says it's amazing he has stayed sound so long. He trains well every day. The reason we kept him sound is because we picked our spots really well, keep him in the $5,000 starters. He said if you run him in an allowance race or a stakes race, he'll be torn up. We have turned down $35,000 a couple of times, but he's not going to win for more than that. So why not let him go out on top? That's what I want to do. Way to go. I love that.
In other words, if we read between the lines, we ran him in those races because that's the only chance he had of winning. And then we got lucky.
Really? I mean, but still, it doesn't matter how classy you are and what race you're running in to win 20 races in a row, 19 in 1 year, to be campaigned that hard and to be winning that consistently is nothing short of an absolute amazement. I mean,
now,
just because of racing luck.
I was surprised when I heard the announcer say Redux, because we've always been saying Redo, so I don't know. But maybe he got it wrong. But is he a boy? Is he still a stallion, or has he been gelded? Do we know?
I have no idea, actually. Uh-huh. I will have to look that up. I'm sure that Sumiko can go ahead and post that on our Facebook page. What's his deal there? Gelding, stallion, they haven't talked about any of that.
All right, one of our racing fans can post that up there for us. Well, thank you for that, Jamie. That was fun. You know what? He led. He was wire to wire, I think. He was pretty much in the lead the whole way and never stopped. So good for him. Good for him. It's always fun when racing has something exciting and positive happen. Well, we have our first guest on the line here. Her name is Lisa Kemp. She's from Kemp Equine. She's a friend of the Horse Radio Network, and she has a project that's happening today that she wanted to tell us about. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you guys today?
We are
great. Hello.
So what's up? What's going on?
Yeah, so it's a kind of a really cool Twitter thing. And I know a lot of people aren't yet on Twitter, but there's more and more growing every day. And what's happening is it's a crossover event. It's exposing the mainstream and the equestrian community to each other on Twitter. It's happening today, kind of midday, 1 p.m. Eastern, so that's 10 a.m. Pacific, so that's late morning for the West Coast folk. But it's a way to share information about horses and horse trivia and horse celebrities and just really give a good showing to mainstream people about what the horse world's about, that we have great fun activities and how important horses are to the American culture as well.
And so this is a going to be like a Twitter chat event?
Yes, it's a Twitter chat event. So anybody can go to twitter.com and put in the OCHAT hashtag, which would be the # and OHCHAT all together as one. And by putting that in, they'll be able to search and follow along with all the tweets that are happening. It's basically like a live chat or an immediate message chat, where and it'll run fast. We've got a lot of people participating, joining in, from, you know, screenwriters and industry movie folk to, you know, a lot of my horse people on Twitter. And so we should have a pretty fun, lively time.
This is actually started by a group of screenwriters and movie folks, wasn't it, this particular chat?
Right, right. What this is, OCHAT, is a twice-weekly Twitter chat that is in conjunction with the Office Hookie sitcom in development. And so what I really liked about Office Hookie, I mean, everybody knows what it is to play hooky and kind of, you know, go out and blow off some steam and stuff like that. But in the sitcom pilot, the people who go and they play hooky from work, excuse me, they inadvertently do good deeds. And so that was why I really connected with the Office Hookie chat. And it's only been around for 5 weeks, but it's already the most recent statistics show that it had over 500,000 impressions on Twitter.
Wow. So this is going to be a lot of people involved.
I mean, that's right. So that's, you know, that's really huge growth. It's, and it's a great way for horse people to, you know, like, let's fly our horsey flag and let's really show, you know, mainstream America, like, there you can have horses, you can have horse activities, and let's bring them along and help them out.
Well, it's perfect timing for an event like this with the War Horse movie coming out, because a lot of people are going to be exposed to horses that have not been exposed to horses in quite such a dramatic way before.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're going to do. We'll have a link to a music playlist that's going to have all kinds of horse-oriented songs, like Save a Cowboy, Ride a Horse by Big and Rich, and some other things that you wouldn't even think about. We're going to have horse trivia and references to horse movies and links and resources for mainstream people to connect. But we really need the horse people to show up, because, you know, we need to help along those mainstream people and really show them. That's like, I don't know if you guys have talked about either the, when Carson Kressley was on the Nate Berkus show with his Saddlebreds.
No, huh?
Oh, that was a few weeks ago. Carson Kressley, who's a big horse guy and you know, really big in the saddlebred world, and he was on the Nate Berkus show, and actually he and Nate were outside in the streets of New York City riding a couple of Carson's saddlebreds. And it was to promote a national program to introduce people to riding and how great equestrian activities are. And then I'm sure you're familiar with the Bums and Saddles campaign over in the UK. That's a tie-in to the London Olympics in 2012.
Yeah,
and that's
yep.
And that's also to, you know, it's a hashtag on Twitter, and it's also a campaign to introduce people to equestrian activities and equestrian sport with the ultimate goal of helping the industry along.
Well, great. So if people want to be involved in that today, they just do what?
Well, they can go to twitter.com. If they have a Twitter account, they can just use the OChat hashtag and follow along and participate. If they don't have a Twitter account, they can go to twitter.com and still put in the OChat hashtag, which is the # OHCHAT, and they can just follow along and see what's going on. There's information up on my blog right now, which is nobizlikehorsebiz.com. There's information there right now about it and how to follow along. And I'll also, because I know a lot, still, even though the Twitter horse community is growing, I know there's a lot of people still not on Twitter. There's more horse people on Facebook. So what I'll do is after the event, I'll have a Best of Horse Hooky recap at my No Biz Like Horse Biz blog.
Okay, sounds great. Well, thank
yeah.
you, Lisa, and good luck with this. I hope that we get some exposure out there for people who don't know much about horses. That's what, of course, we're all about here at the Horse Radio Network as well.
Right,
and I
right.
know that's one of your missions in life with Kemp Equine. So good luck with it.
Right. Thanks you guys so much for having me on and letting me talk to people about this. I really hope that it you know, gets more people introduced to equestrian activities and how great horses are.
Well, tell them all to listen to Horses in the Morning, because this is the fun show that they can listen to whether you're horsey or not.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Lisa. And Merry
Thanks
Christmas.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guess what I have here, Jamie, in my hand. Do you remember last week on Friday we had Reese Coffler-Stanfield doing her Cooking with Reese segment, and she did Nutella cookies?
Yes, she found a very complicated way to basically make cake and put Nutella in the middle and then put cake on top and make Nutella sandwiches. Now,
you remember I said that I had never had Nutella before.
Yes. I do remember that, and I was shocked, and so was Reese. Now, I did then tell Reese that the easiest way to make what she makes is what I do with my Nutella, is I take a Nilla wafer, and then I smear a lot on, and then put another Nilla wafer on top, or just one Nilla wafer. It's like twisting open an Oreo. You can eat it that way, too. So, what do you have for me?
Well, later in the show, at the end of the show, I have in front of me vanilla wafers. By the way, I probably haven't eaten one of these in 20 years, and I forgot how good vanilla wafers actually are. And then
awesome.
I have a jar of freshly purchased, as of last night, Nutella Ferrero in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So later in the show, we will have a live tasting, my first time, of Nilla wafer Nutella sandwich.
If you really want to get, get into it, you'll also get a jar of peanut butter, and you'll take a little bit of peanut butter and a lot of Nutella and put that on a spoon as well, and then taste that, because that's like Reese's on steroids. Oh, so good. I'm
Very
changing
good.
Your life.
I don't
today.
Want to wait till the end of the show. Now I'm getting hungry. So this is the official taste testing. By the way, it does smell just like chocolate. It smells like chocolate.
But it's hazelnuts and it's delicious. Hey, by the way, Sumiko, I said maybe Sumiko will post online whether Rapid Redux is a gelding or whatever. She immediately posted Rapid Redux is a gelding. I aim to please. And then Susan Nelson reported that she
Thank
heard
you,
yesterday.
Sumiko.
I know she's awesome. She heard yesterday that Rapid Redux may be retired to the Kentucky Horse Park. How cool
really?
Would that be?
Wow. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one before. So, cool.
We'll
very
go
good.
Visit
maybe
him at Rolex.
There. Yeah, I was just thinking that. Maybe he'd be there in time for Rolex and we can all meet him. You know, their Hall of Champions has thinned out a good bit because they've lost so many in the last couple of years from various things, and they were looking to add some new ones to the Hall of Champions, so maybe that'll happen. All right, let's take a break for our commercial and then come back to your guest today, who I'm fascinated to hear from. It's one of the causes that Jamie and I are very, very adamant about, and Jennifer as well. So if you're going to buy anything this holiday season at Amazon.com, before you go shopping, just stop by horsesinthemorning.com and click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page. That lets Amazon know you are a listener of the Horse Radio Network, and they give us a little credit back for everything you purchase, whether it's horsey or not, just anything you buy there. It doesn't cost you anything extra to go on to our website and click on the Amazon link first, and it just is that extra click that helps you support the Horse Radio Network and what Jamie and I do here every day. So just go to horsesinthemorning.com, click on the Amazon link before you buy anything over at Amazon for the holidays or after. We would appreciate your support. Thank you very much for that, and thank you for Amazon for offering us the opportunity to do that. I don't know about you, Jamie, but I buy a lot of stuff at Amazon all year long.
You know, I got to tell you, now that my husband is gone, I found on Amazon.com, I wanted to get him a pair of paddock boots, Ariat paddock boots, because he has some half chaps now, and his cowboy boots don't really fit around that. So, or his half chaps don't fit around his cowboy boots with jeans on. So I got him a pair of paddock boots. I'm going to tell you, I went to Amazon.com, put in Ariat men's paddock boots, $50. They're $149 in like real world. So if you anything, I'm new to Amazon because of you and this radio show. So I went to horsesinthemorning.com, clicked on the Amazon link, went to Amazon. I bought so many of my Christmas presents on Amazon.com, and people are going to think I spent so much money, and I didn't.
All right, good. There's an endorsement right there. Ariat paddock boots for men. $50. That's really cheap.
Dude, they're like I even searched them because, and they came in the mail yesterday, and they're for real, and I got them in like 2 days. It's crazy. But I searched them because I was like, they can't be this cheap. And every other website that I went to had them for like $150. I was like, oh yeah, I scored. And I came in, and they're actually real Ariat. They weren't like fake or synthetic or anything like that. So very cool.
All right, great. Well, our guest is ready for you now.
All right, and I would like to introduce you to Jen Reutz. Jen works over at Three Chimneys Farms, and we've had her on before, and I did tell her then that one of my jobs when I went to school at the Kentucky Horse Park, their equine management, and on the weekends I worked at Three Chimneys mucking stalls, and it was the first time I'd ever handled babies, and so we would have to take the horses out, the mares and foals, and then muck the stalls with straw, which I had never done before, and then bring them back in. And it was like literally one of the most challenging jobs I ever had. It was harder than galloping racehorses, I'll tell you that. So, but obviously Jen does not work at mucking stalls. Jen, what is your title at Three Chimneys?
My title is Marketing and Communications Director. So I handle all of the advertising and public relations and media relations and anything communications related that comes out of Three Chimneys, I have my hand in.
Well, you guys do such a great job because I learned so much from the Three Chimneys Facebook page. You guys have over 8,000 likes on your Three Chimneys Facebook page, and I'm a huge fan because like the first thing that pops up today is trivia, you know, and you do trivia and you do contests and everything like that on the Three Chimneys. Are you responsible for most of that?
I am, yeah, and that's actually one of my favorite parts of my job because that's just kind of a fun, lighter side of Three Chimneys. And so we obviously, you know, promote all the stallions and if they have winners or if they have news going on and obviously all of the, you know, hard facts. But it's also where we follow all of our stallions' progeny after their racing careers are over and whatever they're doing after the track. We have a huge photo gallery of second career stars where people send us their photos of their horses by Dynaform or a point given or exchange rate and just a little bio about them, or we do trivia contests or just interesting things either in the horse industry or that people who like thoroughbreds on the performance side of the horse industry would be interested in. So it's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, and I'm just looking here, and I know that you guys posted Barbaro's baby brother did something special recently.
He did. He won his first race. It was in his third start, but he won it really handily. He looked really nice doing it. So that line is continuing to be successful out on the East Coast.
Yeah, Barbaro's baby brother, and it's Margano or Margiano?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, one of those. Well, now, the reason that we wanted to have you on is there was just recently a news story done with you on it, and I saw that on your Three Chimneys Facebook page, and it was local news in Lexington, but I feel like it's incredibly important that everybody kind of knows, and I know you guys have done this for a very long time, kind of under the radar, and I just wanted to get you on to give Three Chimneys giant kudos for what you guys are doing for retired horses. So I want you to tell everybody kind of what it is.
Oh, thanks. Well, basically, horse slaughter in the U.S. was re-legalized in November, as a lot of people know. And it just, there's always been a huge issue in the horse industry, not just in the thoroughbred industry, but, you know, with quarter horses and Arabians and just, you know, mixed breed horses. What to do with horses that people don't want anymore or who aren't being taken care of properly. And so it's always been a hot button issue, but with the re-legalization of horse slaughter, it became, it got reinvigorated. And so for years, Three Chimneys policy has been, you know, we take care of our own. It's a very controversial subject, horse slaughter is. And so our stance on it is we take care of our own. No horse bred at Three Chimneys was ever bred for the purpose of, you know, going to slaughter. So we feel it's our responsibility to take care of our own. And what I mean by saying that is any horse that is bred by Three Chimneys Farm that, you know, has been owned by Three Chimneys Farm during any course of its career, when that horse retires, if it either falls into an adverse situation or, you know, at some point in their life, things just don't go well for that horse and we find out about it. We do whatever we can to get them into better circumstances. We've unfortunately had to find out about some horses who've been at, you know, the New Holland sale in Pennsylvania, which is the last stop before being processed for a lot of horses. And, you know, whenever we find out about these kind of things, we do whatever it takes to, you know, get the horse back to Three Chimneys or into a rescue locally or just into a better situation. And here at the farm, you know, people who have visited Three Chimneys know that whenever one of our stallions retire, it stays here the rest of its life. Whenever one of our broodmares retires or our test mares or any horse that lives on the farm as part of the Three Chimneys herd on the farm, they retire here. But a lot of the horses who go on to racing careers who are maybe born here at Three Chimneys but then go on to race, you know, we can't always keep track of them once we don't own them and we're not responsible for them. And sometimes, you know, they have a great life for 5 years, but then just through certain set of circumstances, something happens. So we depend a lot on a lot of these equine advocates and horse rescues and just people out there who keep their eye out for certain horses who are in bad situations. And that way, when we hear about it, we can help to step in and facilitate a transition to a safe long-term situation for that horse.
And of course, with thoroughbreds, for those who don't know, if they ever race, they are tattooed. And at any point in the rest of their life, you can read that tattoo, and you can just go to thejockeyclub.com, plug that number in, and find out every detail about the horse. Jen, I went on to the Jockey Club website to find out about my off-the-track thoroughbred, who came from a very bad situation. And I found out every detail about his race career, including he either won or he came in dead last. And every race that he came in dead last, it said on the thing, it said, he was fractious in the gait, which means he was bananas. So you can find out any detail on these horses going back all the way to the breeder, which could be Three Chimneys Farms. And I got to tell you that I don't know of any others offhand. Maybe you could tell me, but of a breeding farm that assumes responsibility like you guys do. So not only do you assume responsibility, you have a way to figure out who these horses are. They're just not, sent down the road, and you guys assume a little bit of, you kind of take care of them for the rest of their lives. And I think it's incredibly important, and it kind of, I don't want to say justifies the breeding industry, but it's got to lessen the argument about more horses being bred when you guys are the ones that are stepping in and taking care of them.
Well, thank you for that, for one. There's actually a lot of breeders, both small breeders and large breeders in the industry, who I've been really pleasantly surprised that they do a lot behind the scenes. And like I said, we've done this for a long time. And with the advent of social media, it's allowed us to learn about more of the horses, you know, either from the farm or by our stallions, if they do end up in, you know, either a bad situation where they could potentially be bound for slaughter, or if they just end up at a rescue and they're kind of in a holding pattern until they get to their second career and forever home and all that. And so whether it's us having to step in and financially facilitate getting a horse out of, you know, a livestock auction or something like that, or whether it's just supporting a rescue that maybe has an exchange rate that's available for adoption and helping to promote that to our network, you know, whatever we can do to help. All it takes is a few phone calls or a few keystrokes to, you know, help to support them. And I've been very happy that anytime we found, we've been notified about horses in a potential slaughter situation, if they've been found in, let's say, you know, a kill pen at New Holland auction or at the Camelot auction, they have a really good network of people helping to find homes for horses at the Camelot auction. Whenever we've been contacted about a horse that, you know, had some kind of connection to Three Chimneys, but maybe we never actually owned, usually we have, you know, a way of getting in touch with people who have come along through that horse's career as owners or breeders or whatnot, because like you said, with a thoroughbred, you can find out their entire history of everyone who's basically ever owned that horse and been involved with their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been really pleasantly surprised that the, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a month that we get contacted to see if we could help out with a horse who's in a potentially bad situation, almost every single time I contact the breeder of that horse or a past owner of the horse, one of our clients here at Three Chimneys, they, without even batting an eye, step up and want to do whatever they can to help make sure that horse has a healthy, long-term, safe, happy home. And so it's really nice to know that a lot of our clients feel the same way that we do. They're just not public about it. And it also, once everything started coming about in the press about the horse industry and people thinking that they don't take responsibility for their horses, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who kind of live up to that, the standard that is being portrayed in the media and some of these articles that are being written, it's nice to know that there are a lot of people who are the complete antithesis of that, that, you know, if one of their past horses ends up in a bad situation, they won't stop at anything to get them out of that situation. That's how we feel too.
Well, and you guys have some pretty awesome examples. And Jen, kudos to you. We're going to get to your horse because I know you have a pretty amazing story about your horse. But let's talk about Formidable and even is it Gallatin's Run?
Yeah,
holy
Gallatin's
cow,
Run.
What a cool story that is.
Well, they're both neat stories, and they're totally different stories. Formidable is a good example of what happens to any horse that grows up being owned by Three Chimneys and bred by Three Chimneys and racing for Three Chimneys. Formidable was just that, bred here, born here, raised here, and raced for the farm. When he retired, he unfortunately sustained a minor injury, which ended his career. He came out of the gate in the Jaipur Stakes and lost his jockey. He stumbled and his jockey fell off in front of him, and Formidable gathered himself and jumped over the jockey and probably saved the jockey from significant injury. But in the process, he tore a tendon a tiny bit and then proceeded to run the entire race. So he finished second without a rider, so he was a good boy. But he came out of the race and just had a tiny tendon injury that was totally fixable, but you know, he was already five, so there's no point in bringing him back to the track after something like that. So we rehabbed him here at the farm for a year and then got him going under saddle again and just made sure he'd be a sound horse long term. And then since he was still, he wasn't a gelding, he was a colt turning into a horse and could be used for breeding. He's a half brother to two stallions. He's just, you know, not quite the caliber of what you look at to stand in Kentucky. And we also stand his sire, Sky Mesa, so we already had that bloodline here too. So we contacted a few colleges, and as of this week, he's going up to the University of Minnesota, and he's the newest member of their equestrian program. They're going to stand him at stud up there, and he'll also be used, you know, for their equestrian program as a riding horse. But, you know, he's such a well-mannered horse, and he's a gorgeous horse, so he's going to be perfect for kids who want to learn about the breeding industry and learn how to deal with stallions and also just learn how to get a horse going from being a racehorse to being, you know, a hunter jumper style show horse. So he's perfect.
He only has one complaint though, Jen. He was wondering why Minnesota and not Florida.
I know. That's going to be a bummer for him the first week. We'll have to make sure we send him up there with a good blanket. It's going to be
I got to tell you, when I was watching the newscast, they bring out Formidable, okay, and he looks like a stallion. He's got the big jaw, the big neck. He's very impressive looking. And they bring him out, and somebody's holding him while the news anchor is, like, leaning up against him doing her news story. And she's got, and I just was a nervous wreck. I was like, oh, my God, don't bite her. Don't bite her. Don't strike at her. Don't kick at her. And he just stood there. Like, and I came away going, well, that's a good horse. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he's funny. He was all business on the track, and he was a tough guy on the track, but he just loves people, and he loves attention, and it's funny. It's like he has this mentality that he is not going to do anything that's going to stop the attention from coming his way. So if that means behaving well, you know, he totally gets that, so... He's kind of like a dog. If your hand is moving on him, he stands there like a statue.
I kind of have a co-host like that, Jen.
Oh, I got to say, yeah, and tell us, because I want to get to your horse, tell us a little bit about Gallatin's Run, because this horse, first of all, thanks for rehabbing your own racehorse that was injured running with you guys. To keep a horse for a year is unheard of for a big breeding farm. So you guys did that, and then now Gallatin's Run.
Gallatin's Run is a little bit shorter of a story, but he's a great example of what I mean by, like, being so happy that our clients feel the same way we do about this kind of stuff. He is owned by a prominent sports personality, Jim Rome, who has a show on ESPN called Rome is Burning.
Epic.
Jim Rome is Burning.
I've seen it. It's I mean, to watch Jim Rome, he's very gruff and tough talking. He's like, yeah, that's epic, yo. And he's just such like a tough talking guy, and you would think of him as quite the hard ass, but apparently not.
Yeah, his love of horses is epic as well. Yeah, when it comes to his horses, he does whatever it takes to give them the best of everything. And, you know, when horses run for him, his mentality is they've worked hard for me and I'm going to work hard for them and make sure that they're taken care of the rest of their life. He's got one out in California named El Manuel that raced for him. And when that horse started not being able to perform as well as he had been, Jim, you know, he was very quick to call it quits and just say, we'll keep the horse the rest of his life. We'll give him a good home. And so that was the plan with Gallatin's Run. And Gallatin was supposed to make one more start at Del Mar this summer. It's, you know, his home track, and it's the track he performed best on. So the plan was he'd make one more start and then be retired. He was just going to live out his days, you know, either just in a pasture or as a riding horse, you know, whatever he preferred. and he got claimed out of that last race. And then he just started running more and more and more, but dropping down in levels pretty steadily. And he ended up out here on the East Coast, or toward the East Coast. And Jim was really keen on wanting to get the horse back because he wanted to retire that horse. And, you know, he basically, to him and how he describes it, he made a promise to that horse, and he was not going to let that go. And so he asked Case here at Three Chimneys, who's the president of the farm, if he could help him get the horse back. And so they Case called the trainer, made an offer on the horse. The trainer said, you know, the connections weren't interested in selling the horse. And so a few days later, Gallatin was running for a tag of $7,500. And Case claimed him, retired him on Thanksgiving Day, and now he's here at Three Chimneys getting used to being just a regular horse again. And so he's going out to pasture every day and getting a lot of treats, and he could not be happier, and he is the sweetest horse. You can tell he's definitely remembering what it's like to be loved on and just getting all this attention without having to work hard every day.
I love it. I got to tell you, I was not a huge Jim Rome fan because he was on, I started out my radio career in sports talk, and he was always on right after or right before I went on. And
yeah.
I used to just, it used to drive me crazy because it is so guy oriented. And I was like the one chick on the show, on the radio station. Well, I couldn't stand it. Now I love him. I love Jim Rome. I'm going to watch his show. I don't care how guy-oriented it is. I love him now. So.
Yeah, when it comes to his horses, I've just been so impressed because, I mean, he and his wife, they love horses and they love horse racing, but they're not horse people. They didn't grow up around horses and they don't ride or anything like that. But, I mean, they are so thoroughly concerned with making sure that their horses have whatever is in there, you know, best for them. And he's got a broodmare in Kentucky. He has Gallatin in Kentucky. He has a few other horses in California as well. And I just am so impressed by that. And I love that mentality.
Yeah. And now, of course, we're talking with Jen Royce from Three Chimneys Farm. And I want everybody to find out exactly what you just did. You bought a horse very recently who... At a public auction, I'm assuming this is Keeneland or one of the big auctions, a horse named Point of Impact sold for $800,000. Okay, this is Point Given's most expensive son to ever sell at public auction, $800,000. And yep. Tell us what happened after that.
I did not pay that much for him. it's funny. When I was talking about the social media thing before, it's been a godsend for us because it allows a lot of our fans or just people who are horse lovers around the country, they let us know when they see horses that maybe need a little bit of an intervention in their lives and they might not be on the best path, you know what I mean? And so we had gotten, about 2 years ago, we started getting just an email here or there or a phone call about a horse by Point Given who is running in New Mexico and Arizona, and just people call and say, you know, I'm worried about this horse. He's not winning. He's running at the bottom level, and is there anything Three Chimneys could do? And the horse just kept changing trainers, kept changing ownership, and I called a few of the trainers and asked if I could, you know, get the horse from them, and just said, we want to bring him back to Kentucky. He was our stallion's most expensive son. We just, you know, want to have him when he's retired. And it was always kind of a gruff answer from trainer to trainer that, you know, if I wanted him, I could claim him. And then he landed with a trainer named Lonnie Vaughn not even a year ago. And I called the trainer and said the same thing, that, you know, he's the most expensive son of one of our stallions here at Three Chimneys, Point Given, and we just want to, you know, make sure we get him back to Kentucky when he retires. And the Vaughns, Lonnie Vaughn is the trainer, his wife, Verona, is the owner, and they were so nice about it and said, you know, we want to run him a few more times, that's why we bought him, but we love that you guys want to do that, and so you can have him when he retires. And so he ran and, you know, just wasn't running well for them. And so at the end of November, I called again after he had kind of a few clunker races right in a row and just said, you know, would I be able to buy him off of you? I really want to get this horse back home. Citra Chimneys just because he was, it was becoming a lot more consistent that he wasn't doing well, and I just was getting worried because it's kind of tough to get a horse from New Mexico to Kentucky, and so I wanted to make sure that was still on the radar screen. And so the Vaughns, you know, I offered them a couple $100 for the horse. They wouldn't take it. They said, you know, we want what's best for the horse, and you know, you guys are willing to take him back, that's even better. You can have him for a dollar. And the Vaughns actually even drove him halfway across the country for us to save us on shipping. And so Three Chimneys got the horse back the beginning of November. And originally the plan was just he was going to be like one of the other horses we help, where we either get him to, you know, one of these rehabilitation and adoption facilities or back to the farm, rehabilitate him, and then he finds a second home. And it's the one horse that I've worked for probably 2 years trying to get off the track. He took a lot longer than any other horse because he changed hands so many times. And so by the time he got back here, it was ridiculous. I already had an attachment to this horse that I'd never seen before. But he got back here, and I just kept messing with him and, you know, feeding him treats after work and just kind of checking in on him. And so after he was here about a week, I decided this one's going to be mine. I usually find them all homes, but I'm just going to go ahead and keep this one.
So, yay!
He's my new little go pony, and he's enjoying living.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, he's to go from an $800,000 price tag to a $1 price tag is definitely a drop in price, but he's definitely worth that $1 and many, many more because he's, I mean, he's huge. He's 17'3". He's got the best personality. Just rode him for the first time over the weekend, and he's a star. So, yeah, he's going to be great, and he'll just live out his life at Three Chimneys here and maybe go to the occasional horse show.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm so proud of you for getting him. Now, these sweet people that drove him halfway across the country, send them something that, like, runs really fast so they can win a couple of races.
They mentioned that, too. I told them I could get my eye out
and
see what we could do.
Like, here's a foal. Dang it. Oh, no, that's fantastic. Well, Jen, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of you and Three Chimneys and everything you guys are doing. Where can people go to find out more information about the program?
They can either go to our website, which is just threechimneys.com, or they can go to our Facebook page. And if you type in www.facebook.com/threechimneys, that'll take you right to our Facebook page, or you can just put Three Chimneys in your little search box. And I will say too that the reason we've been able to help so many more horses in the last few years is because people are connecting with us on Facebook, or they connect with us on our website or email us. You know, it's definitely a group effort, because no farm, no person can keep track of so many horses after the horses left their care and years after the horses left their care. So we really depend on this influx of information to be able to know what's going on and what needs attention and how we can help. So information sharing is key in this. So if anyone ever sees a horse by one of our stallions or sees a horse that's been connected to Three Chimneys in some way who just isn't in a good situation and maybe just needs a little bit of help to get on the right path, we are happy to do it, and they can definitely connect with us, and we just really appreciate all the help that people have given us in finding these horses.
You're like defects for, you know, for the horse world, which defects is what goes and takes kids away from bad parents in Atlanta when I grew up. And you guys are like the defects of the horse world. I'm sorry. That's my horse, and you're not doing a good job with it, so I'm going to have it back. Thank you.
Well, and there's many people who are taking such good care of, you know, their horses, and we love hearing about that. And it's definitely the minority that end up in this situation, but at the same time, even one ending up in that situation is too many. So we're happy and very quick to help when we can.
Absolutely. Well, Jen, we're going to look you up when we get down to Kentucky and Rolex and come and visit you. But we do appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you, and thank Three Chimneys and all the management there for what they're doing. And we will definitely have you on again. Next time you get another big success story, please call us back.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Talk to you soon.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for that. Our song today is by Jared Rogerson. And if you remember when we talked to Jared, Jamie, when we had him on the show, he said he works for like the Park Service. He has one of the coolest jobs in the world. He actually rides horses for a living. He rides deep into the Park Service studying animals and plants and, or into the state parks and federal parks. And so he rides above the timberline, he told us a lot. Well, he actually wrote a song about that and about his life, and it's a great song. You haven't heard it before. This is new, so I'm going to play that for you today. And the song today is brought to you by FeedXL. It's that time of year when you make New Year's resolutions. It's time to make a resolution about your horse and making sure you're feeding your horse correctly. Stop over to FeedXL.com. It only takes you a couple minutes to put in the information about your horses, what you feed them, a little bit about them, a little bit about their weight and their height and all of that. And you're going to be able to get a report that will spit out in a matter of seconds that will tell you whether you're feeding your horses correctly, too much of this, too little of that, from every vitamin and mineral all the way down the line to hay and salt and everything. So it's very extensive. It's very well done. FeedXL.com for the new year to make sure you're doing right by your horses. So this is Above the Timberline by Jared Rogerson, and then we're coming back with Michelle Anderson's maiden voyage here on the show for thehorse.com as we speak to the president of the American, or the AAEP, sorry about that, and we're going to speak to the president of the AAEP, Dr. Mitchell.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebag. Who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. Got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bear. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, that's Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I'm here with Jamie Jennings, and also Coach Jen is in the producer chair today, as usual. Well, we have every Wednesday, we do a segment with thehorse.com, and every Wednesday since we started this, It's been Christy here representing the horse. Well, she has moved on to greener pastures, and I might add, a really cool job. We're going to try and get Christy on later in the week to tell us about her new really cool job. But taking her place over at thehorse.com is Michelle Anderson, and we're going to say good morning to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
So glad to have you on board here. We're looking forward to talking to you every week here on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of jumping in.
Yeah, you just started this job like 2 days ago, and they're already throwing you in with us, which God bless you for that, by the way.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know what?
All...
We're easy. We're easy to get along with over here. And as long as you're not talking about anything gross, I'll be nice to you.
Okay, we'll see about that.
Now, you're from Oregon, right? Out West Coast.
Yeah, I am. I'm from Bend, Oregon, the middle of the state, high desert. But right now I'm in Lexington because I'm training for my new job. So, figuring things out.
Well, now, you are a rider as well. You have horses, and you've been around horses forever, I understand.
Yep. I have 3 horses that live in my backyard. I have a quarter horse that I raised, bred and raised. He's 8. I have a Hanoverian. I ride dressage with him. And then we also lease a little halfling, our pony, for my husband. So a humble husband horse.
I like that. Every husband needs one of those kind of horses.
Yep.
It keeps them interested and not going, okay, this is too much, I'm playing golf.
Keeps him safe. Yeah. He likes golf too, but try to get him out on the trails as much as I can.
Well, cool. So we're very excited to have you here, and good luck with the new job. Thehorse.com, we've enjoyed working with them for the last 3 years. And I know that we've had Stephanie on here, your boss, on here a few times as well. Well, there's a new boss over at the AAAP. Is that correct?
There is. Dr. John Mitchell is here, and he's the new president. And I have some questions for him.
Okay. Well, good morning, Dr. Mitchell.
Good morning. And in racetrack terms, Michelle would be in a maiden race. So we hope she can win her first race and break her maiden right out of the start.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we certainly hope she doesn't end up in an auction someplace when this is done.
No.
if you win your maiden race, well, then you always get to come back for non-winners of 2, so she'll be fine.
Thank you for that, John. I think she feels better now.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So. Well, is this the point where I take over and start asking
questions? This is the point where
questions?
You take over. That's correct.
Okay. So, Dr. Mitchell, can we start out by hearing a little bit about your practice and where you're from?
Sure. I'm from Southeast Florida. I live in Boca Raton, and I practice in Pompano Beach, Florida at Pompano Park Racetrack. I started practice life in Florida in 1973. And the first 10 or 12 years, I did mixed equine practice, pleasure horses, performance horses, reproductive work. And I always went to the racetrack some every day. And then the last 15, 20 years, I've been exclusively standardbred racehorses. Those are the Salke racehorses at Pompano Park.
Hey, Michelle, can I jump in here quick?
Sure.
Dr. Mitchell. You shouldn't have gotten this job. You live in paradise. You have the most perfect world down there. And now you're also president of the AAP. That's a pretty good gig.
Well, it's a real honor, and it's a real challenge. We have a lot of issues. We have 10,000 horse doctors in the American Association of Equine Practitioners, and about half of those veterinarians work exclusively on horses. So, we're real proud of that, and there's a lot of challenges to keep everybody's work and life style in good balance.
Well, it sounds like a neat place to work down in Pompano Beach.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've been involved with the AAEP for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've done in the past?
Yes, my first AAP meeting was when I was a junior in vet school, and one of my mentors there at the vet school took me to my first AEP meeting, and I was just so impressed with the sincerity and the enthusiasm of everybody. I remember coming home thinking I'd been to the Supreme Court of Equine Veterinary Medicine. And since that time, I joined right away, and I've been very active and been on numerous committees and task forces, and I was the treasurer for 3 years. But probably the area that I have spent the most time in is education for our members on personal finance and practice management. Vet schools do a really good job teaching the science, but they do very little to help a veterinarian run a business. And so that was kind of my specialties, to try to help with the practice management education.
Mm-hmm. And you've been on some task forces, at least recently, right?
Yes, the most recent one was the Bureau of Land Management Wild Horse and Burro Task Force.
Mm-hmm. And what was involved with that?
Well, the Bureau of Land Management came to the American Association of Equine Practitioners and asked us to do an independent evaluation on their care, handling, management practices as it pertained to the health and welfare of their horses and burros. So we created a 10-person task force, and we visited different wild horse gathers and short-term holding facilities and long-term holding facilities. And we came up with a factual overview and report for the Bureau of Land Management on what we thought their practices were.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of those recommendations that you ended up making?
Well, overall, we thought that they were doing a really good job and that the humane and health issues were appropriate for this population of horses. And we did have a list of about 12 recommendations that we thought areas for improvement. The three major ones of those were that we observed different helicopter pilots rounding up the wild horses, and we could see a good bit of discrepancy difference in the way the helicopter pilots moved the horses. And so we thought that they should create standards and have job performance evaluations for those helicopter pilots so that everybody was doing it similarly and according to what they thought was best practices. And then we found one of their short-term holding facilities in Salt Lake City, Utah, to be what we considered subpar standards for animal welfare. There was overcrowding there and very muddy, deep footing situation, no firm ground for the horses to lay down on. And so we recommended there be improvements there. And since that facility has been closed and will only be used as a summer adoption center. And then the third thing is, and probably the most important thing, that we thought about the whole BLM and program, that it's just imperative that they implement fertility control measures to reduce the foaling rate in the wild herds. For 40 years, they've been rounding up the excess wild horses and keeping them in captivity. But now they have challenges of too many horses in captivity. Adoptions are dwindling. The cost of feed is really escalating. And they may face budget cuts. So we just really think that's important. Best thing for the horses is to stop them from being born on the range in excess. And then they won't have so many problems with the horses that they're keeping in captivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really interesting to be a part of some change there. It's something to feel really good about. We, up in Oregon, these are some issues that we're dealing with our wild horse herds, too. So with the reproduction, though, what are some of the suggestions on helping with fertility rates?
Well, we two things I'll mention now. Anybody that's really interested in the BLM program and all can go to aaep.org and in the search bar just put BLM report, and they'll have access to our 35 pages of report to the BLM. And as far as the AEP offered at the end of the report to be a resource for the BLM. So if they have specific problems that they would like help with, well, we sure be interested in and help supply them with experts to deal with different problems they have. And one of those problems is coming up with a practical, cost-effective fertility control. And at this time, they don't have one. They do have a experimental project going with an injectable birth control. But the problem with injectable birth control is the horses still have to be rounded up. Currently, every 1 or 2 years to receive this injection, and it is quite expensive, the injection. So we just think that they need to get on with research to come up with a better fertility control.
Yeah. Dr. Mitchell, I got to jump in here. First of all, Michelle, you're breaking your maiden. Fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you.
She's out
and
in front.
She is out front, definitely. But Dr. Mitchell, fascinating. I had no idea that you guys were working so closely with the BLM to address these Mustang issues. You know, as veterinarians, you wouldn't think that the president of the AAEP would work so closely with BLM in the past. And I think it is. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Mustang. Obviously, the Mustang problem out here is one at the top of mind as well. So I just want to thank you for jumping in there and helping those guys out. And I mean the Mustangs, because it is something we all have to think about. And I love that you're now with the AEP as the president, and that is something that is near and dear to your heart.
Yes, it was really a personal highlight of my career to experience this, and I got a whole new perspective on the BLM program. It's actually bigger than just the horses in that the BLM has a passion for maintaining the whole ecosystem of the range, and so they're very sensitive to the plants, the water, the soil, the wildlife that's already present on the range, and the horses aren't native to the range. They have kind of established themselves there from escaped horses and abandoned horses. And it is a very large problem that's kind of, in the background. There's approximately 78,000 wild horses now. About 38,000 on the range and over 41,000 in captivity. So it's something that we need to deal with, and it's definitely issues that the AAP would like to help with if the BLM will use this as a resource.
So going into the new year, besides the BLM work, what else will you guys be focusing on?
Well, we have a lot of projects, you can imagine, with, 10,000 members and a staff of 18. One of the exciting new things is the laminitis research project that's just been initiated. The AAP sponsors an annual research symposium where we get all the experts from around the world in one room for 3 days, and they give papers on the current state of research. And then the last day, we just shut the experts in a room, and they brainstorm on, what should we do next? Where should we be in 5 years? Where should be in 10 years with this problem? And over the last several years, the laminitis people drew up what we knew and what we didn't know. And laminitis is one of the really big problems that faces the horse industry. So they laid out a prospective way to really move the ball forward, and it involves $1 million worth of research. And we've already have the funding for the first $250,000 worth of the project. And the first project is going to involve our AEP members to submit detailed case reports on new cases of laminitis. And with these detailed case reports, then Dr. Noah Cohen and his team at Texas A&M University are going to analyze all this data and try to learn what the predisposing factors and the environmental factors are that causes horses to have laminitis. And that's the way a lot of the human research is done now. If you look at, they're called cohort studies, where they analyze 10,000 people's lifestyles, whether they use alcohol, use cigarettes, how much they exercise. And then by studying the data of what diseases they get, then you can look backwards and determine what predisposes certain people to get certain diseases. And this will be the first time that we've really looked at laminitis this way. And so I'm really excited that our members are going to be involved with collecting this data and trying to get some good answers on why and which horses get laminitis.
So how long do you think before those of us who are horse owners start seeing some of those results?
Well, you know, unfortunately, this takes a good bit of time. I would say realistically, we probably aren't going to have many concrete answers for a couple years.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure the horse.com will be bringing those answers to those horse owners.
Yep. Well, it'll be revolutionary. There's two different basic types of laminitis, the medical type where a horse just comes down with primary laminitis, and that's going to be the one that's addressed in the first study. And then the second study will also include the surgical laminitis, where when a horse has surgery on one, say, front limb, then that limb post-surgically is painful, and they keep most of their weight on the other limb, and that foot is the one that gets a post-surgical laminitis. So that'll be the second type of laminitis that we'll be studying. And a lot of horses have very successful surgery on one leg, then only to founder on another leg. And I, you know, Barbaro is one of the most famous horses that.
I was just going to say that actually, and you know, Michelle, you know, we all know horses that have had laminitis, and we've all run into it personally if you've been a horse person for any period of time. So I'm really excited to hear more about that. We are plain running out of time here, guys. Dr. Mitchell, thank you so much for being on with us today. Will you come back over the next year during your reign?
Sure. Give me a holler, and we'll join you.
All right, great. And what do you think? Should we? Did Michelle win the race, or maiden voyage here, or maiden race?
I just saw the camera flash, and her nose came across first, so she's no longer a maiden.
Well, thank you.
Broke her maiden at first.
We're not shipping her off to New Holland for Monday's sale. That's a good thing.
That's right. She's heading toward Lexington.
All right, good. Thank you, Michelle. You did great.
Oh.
You did terrific.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And I'll be talking to you guys next week.
Well, yes. And I do want to give out the website. It's aaep.org. Do you have a website for your practice, Dr. Mitchell?
No, a matter of fact, I retired this May, and I'm devoting most all of the next couple of years to the AEP work, so I'm no longer at the track. And the racetrack practice, the websites aren't that important because we're all right there every day.
Right.
So all they have to do is look around, they can find us.
Well, congratulations on your appointment, and good luck with the opportunity over the next year. And, Michelle, we'll talk to you again next week. Of course, it is thehorse.com.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think she passed. What do you think, Jamie?
I think she did a great job. I think Christy's going to listen to this and be a little jealous. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. She's going to miss us. You know she's going to miss us. Every week she's going to go, I should be on that show right now. But she has a pretty cool job she's going to tell us about here when we get her on. But now it is time for the tasting of the Nutella. So as we said earlier in the show, the subject of Nutella, which as I can best tell is kind of a European thing, right?
Yes, it is. I discovered it when I was in Germany, realizing that as a vegetarian, there is nothing to eat in Germany besides bread, cheese, and Nutella. So I subsisted on that for 10 days being there. And now it's actually gaining popularity in the regular grocery stores here in America. So Glenn had never tasted Nutella before. And, of course, Reese and I were shocked because it's absolutely fantastic. So, Glenn, are you going to taste it itself?
I have vanilla wafers. Like you said, I had to make vanilla wafer sandwiches. So I'm opening up the box of vanilla wafers right now. And I've gotten, and by the way, it's been a long time since I've even eaten a vanilla wafer. Used to be one of the favorites at the house because you could buy the generic brand of vanilla wafers for cheap. And so my parents, you know, having four boys in the house, you know, we could sit down and eat a sleeve of saltine crackers in one sitting, each of us. So these vanilla wafers, they used to buy them. I don't know if you'll remember this, but they used to come in what seemed like these five-pound bags. And they used to buy vanilla wafers in these large quantities, and it used to take us about a week to go through them. So this is my first time in a long time. Now, what do? I just open up the jar and just slather a whole bunch on and make a sandwich?
Yeah, you can. Now keep in mind that Nutella's thick, so you may want some sort of spoon or knife to assist you in getting the Nutella out. Okay, so put a lot on a piece.
Okay.
I want to tell you right now, though, that what I'm feeling at this moment, have you seen the movie Elf with Will Ferrell?
Yes.
You know the scene where he's sitting there and he's made breakfast for the his new mom, and he's made spaghetti and he poured syrup all over it, and he's waiting for her to taste it, and he's like so excited that he wants it to be good, and he's sitting there like, "What do you think? What do you think? Do you like it? Do you like it?" Yes. That's how I'm feeling right now. So, go ahead. I'm sitting here with bated breath, waiting for
Wait a minute.
I'm
running over right now. Hold on. We're going to give Jennifer one too. Jennifer is going to try this as well. So I think. Hold on here a second.
Milk washes it down wonderfully. I'm getting hungry thinking about this.
I only have water, actually, right now, so we'll try that. Okay. Jennifer, do you have yours now? You have yours, right?
I'm ready with my Nutella Sammy.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Vanilla wafers are crunchy.
Creamy and smooth.
Oh, my gosh, is that good. It's really good stuff. Oh, you shouldn't have introduced me to this. How many calories are in Nutella? About 8,000.
It's fat-free, I'm sure. Just eat it.
It's got hazelnuts in it. That's got to be good for you.
This is really good stuff. How did I never know about this before?
I don't know. I'm telling you, my good friend, amongst years of being single and heartbreak and job loss and radio careers and all that, the one constant friend of mine has been Nutella on a spoon.
You know what? You don't even bother making a sandwich. You just take the vanilla wafer, dip it in a Nutella jar, and scoop out a pile.
I'm telling you, that's what I said. So
how many
flakes does it get?
This is a 5-flaker. This
five
is really good stuff. This is five out of five. This is really good stuff. Why don't you just finish the show? I'm going to eat Nutella.
All right. We just changed Glenn's life for the good. He now knows Nutella. Just a couple news stories for you real quick before Glenn gets his milk and rinses his mouth out, is a couple horse movies have been nominated for some pretty prestigious awards. The Critics' Choice Movie Awards is a ceremony that goes on in Hollywood, and it's kind of what they say the precursor to the Oscars. A lot of the movies that win these awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, go on to potentially win the Oscars. Well, two movies that are near and dear to our heart, even though we've never seen one of them, have been nominated. War Horse and Buck the Movie have both been nominated for awards. War Horse was nominated for 7 different awards, including, but not limited to, Best Art Direction, Best Editing, Best Sound, Best Score, Best Director with Steven Spielberg, and Best Picture. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Can you imagine if a horse movie wins Best Picture? And keep the applause going, because Buck was nominated 6 times, including Best Documentary Feature and Best Director of the Documentary. So definitely very, very exciting for Buck and for War Horse. The award show is going to be January 14th. So we will definitely keep you up to date of that. And again, they see them as early predictions of likely Oscar picks. So we shall
see. That's always
absolutely
good to hear. Yay. Hey, I have to mention, too, that we have we are going to be giving away some prizes on Friday for the Really Bad Ads. And one of those prizes is a $100 gift certificate from Kentucky Performance Products.
Oh.
So You can pick what products you want. You know, we advertise them every Friday, and you've probably been thinking, you know, I really should try this supplement or that supplement. And sometimes people don't try a supplement because they don't want to spend the money, not sure if it's going to work. Well, you have your chance to win $100 worth right here on the Horse Radio Network, thanks to Kentucky Performance Products. That's going to be for one of the winners. And then we're going to have another winner who is going to win. Remember, we talked to Dory McCullough Lawson the other day, who wrote the terrific kids book called Tex. Well, we're going to give you the book that we received from them called Tex. We'll ship that out to you in time for you to give it to a little munchkin in your life for Christmas. So we're going to have the Tex book, and we might have more announcements and more prizes tomorrow. So definitely get in your really bad ads today to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. You have until the end of the day to tomorrow to submit them. And this will be the last really bad ads for the year. So get your entries in now.
I found a new website. I did. And I'm going to sign up for it, but it's one of the ones you told me about. It's a website where people promote their riding lessons. And I have found some pretty awesome ads for people teaching riding lessons. Sad, sad ads. These are called really sad ads because you're teaching. You're trying to teach something, and you need to spell correctly. Seriously, people, what is wrong with you? Hey, before we go, I can't not mention Lisa Marie Ferguson. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you, my friend, because, oh, my gosh, her advanced horse, Smart Move, they were training down in Wellington, Florida, and Smart Move got loose. Now, remember, this is what happened to Teddy O'Connor, too, and so it happens to everybody. It got loose, escaped from the barn, ran into the road, and got hit by a car, and she was trying to get to the Olympics, trying to get long shortlisted for the Olympics with a Canadian team with this horse. So definitely very, very sad. They had a great season. They were fourth place at the 3-star at Galway last month. Just up-and-comers big time. So we are so sorry, Lisa Marie Ferguson, and Smart Move in the loss of that horse. Holy cow, just absolutely terrible. So we definitely wish the best to you and your friends and family and connections. Very, very sad. Sorry
well,
to end on it.
No, check your fences and make sure that you have that plan in place around your house, because over the last 2 weeks, and you know, we've said it before, Jamie and I, we follow almost every news story that goes out there about a horse in it. And I have seen a dozen stories over the last 2 weeks of loose horses getting hit and killed on the road. So because they got loose. So check your fences, make sure that all the boards are up. You know, if they're, and Jamie, this is so easy to do for all of us that have had big farms. You see that the one rail broke and you go, I should go out there and get it because another one's starting to pop off. And you put it off. And those are the times that the horses decide to just take the next one off and get out. So make sure, double check your gates, make sure your fences are safe. And also, while you're on the subject of eventers, we have a lot of listeners here on the Horse Radio Network and on Horses in the Morning over in England. And there is a rider by the name of Polly Williamson who took a spill, and they had to put in an induced coma on Thursday. She's in the hospital now. She's a former European champion. She broke three vertebrae and suffered a serious head injury when her horse spooked in high winds and fell onto her. The doctors are not concerned about the broken back, but they are concerned about the extent of the head injuries, and that's why they induced the coma. They say she might be absolutely fine. We are just waiting to see. So our best to Polly Williamson and her family over there in Europe as well.
Absolutely. Hey, just to end on a happier note, I got to let you know that I was in Wellington, Florida at one point. I think I told you guys this story before, but just to end on a funny note, I was driving through Wellington. I was in a rental car, and I was looking at all the beautiful polo farms and all the different just wonderful facilities and the big ostentatious places, and all of a sudden, I'm going like 5 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, the most amazing, beautiful black stallion comes galloping straight at my rental car and proceeds to jump the hood of my car and continue galloping down the road to the next farm, apparently a loose stallion trying to go cavort with some mares. Now, what I then saw was about six grooms with buckets and halters come running around the corner chasing the stallion. Well, the stallion wanted nothing to do with the buckets, but I did have a bag of potato chips in my car, and I jump out of the car with the bag of potato chips, and I go running with the grooms to go chase this loose stallion. The stallion comes up to me because of the rattle of the bag of potato chips, and they were able to yard it and catch it, and it tried to eat all my potato chips. But good news is the beautiful, gorgeous black stallion was recovered.
You should work for an advertising agency. Now, when you were saying that, first of all, what a surreal story. But when you were saying that, picture the commercial, okay? Your car is coming around a corner. There's this black stallion running down the street, and all the cinematography of the commercial, the black stallion jumps the roof of the hood of the car. Right behind it are the six grooms who also jump the roof of the car one at a time, and they're trying to catch the horse. They can't catch it. You get out with your bag of Lay's potato chips, and the horse comes right over. There's your commercial. Is that great or what?
That is awesome. That is definitely awesome. We should contact them about sponsoring the show. Yum Brands, Kentucky Derby and Yum Brands. Here you go. See, there's the tie-in. It's perfect.
All right, everybody. That's a great story, Jamie. I have some Nutella to eat and some vanilla wafers, a whole bag full here. So I'm leaving now. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is the point where Jamie says spay, neuter, and geld.
I was waiting for you to start the music. Now I can say spay, neuter, and geld, my friends, and adopt a thoroughbred, and adopt a Mustang. That's what we learned today.
And eat some Nutella.
Amen, brother.